This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app in your home smart speaker. Jerry Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Jerry's percentages later in the hour. We're supposed to be maybe playing golf with Gary Roberts. I wouldn't dare call him Jerry.
Jerry
I'm
Roberts.
Not calling him Jerry Roberts. No way.
Is that people tomorrow?
Yeah. Tomorrow morning, I think. We'll see.
Tomorrow morning, I get to see Hazy B dialed in.
Yep. I got my new elbow band.
Dude,
what's an
I
elbow
have no
band?
Idea what I'm doing right
that's
now.
That's embarrassing. Like, that's like a bowler wearing a giant glove with an elbow patch and all
I'm like
that.
Rene Russo in Tin Cup.
Dude, you're not wearing that, are you?
No, I'm wearing everything. I've got Skechers shoes, everything.
Dude, you know the deal. There's only one thing you can't do that bugs me. You can't do it.
What?
The fluffs.
Fluff it up? I'm not fluffing. There'll be no fluffing.
Dude, you do it once. You know I'm calling you on it. So I'm going to say you cannot do that.
Yeah, I'm going to play it as a lie.
You like a fluff.
I will. I enjoy a fluff when it's necessary. When
dude,
the grounds
the five
are
wood
under repair.
Fluff is your specialty. You are not teeing it up as it lies in the rough with the five wood.
No, I will play. I will play it as it lies, Mr. Gilmore. I will be doing that, and I'm looking forward to it. No, I'm not wearing anything stupid. I'm just going to show up and hit bombs and roll putts and butter cuts the whole nine. That's what I'm looking forward to doing.
I just want to. I actually want you to perform. Like, admirably. Like,
well,
I
we should put some money on the line or something to really get the juices flowing.
Aren't you a 10 handicap? Isn't that what you're calling yourself right now?
Nah, I might be a bit aggressive. If there's money on the line, I'm closer to a 12.
All right, 13. I'll give you six. I'll give you six. Six
well,
shots.
Who are you? You said you're a three.
Yeah, three. You're a 10?
Yeah. Do
that's
the math.
Seven. That's
so seven shots.
Like, that might have been the dumbest
12, thing
we've
though.
Ever said on this show.
Yeah, he said he was a 12, though, so you have to give
okay,
him
a nine. Okay, a match for $100. I'll give you seven shots.
All right. Well, we'll talk about it. We'll figure it out tomorrow on the blocks. But anyway, so, yeah, there'll be some material tomorrow. I guarantee you that.
For sure.
So, yeah, that's going on. And
that just got my interest level way up.
It's going to be a doozy. You know what's funny about when you play golf with people you don't know? Is when you like the idea
something
of asking
we do
them,
not do.
No, we rarely do. And I will admit I've never really asked anyone if they want to, you know, gamble on golf or, you know, play a par three game or something. But I just to see the reaction from people, because you can tell if they're not into it, it's like they're disgusted by the idea that you would even propose putting money on the line to golf.
Right.
You know, like how dare
you're
you?
You're not going to go up to a stranger and say, "Hey, you want to play for a hunch on the front and a hunch on the back and 50 on the like."
Yeah, it's a degenerate move. I'm not saying I've ever done it. Like, I'm not. That's rock bottom. That's when you are fiending for some action. When you're going up to randoms at Don Valley and asking for some action on the front nine, that is a totally different level. Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, here in a moment. These NBA rules and the protocols, I was laughing my ass off earlier
was that
today.
Was that a Tinder rule? Like,
yeah, oh,
basically,
exactly
if you meet somebody
was.
On Tinder, they're not allowed in. But if you've actually met them in person, they're allowed in. Is that
Hang
is
on
that
a
right?
second here. I thought nobody was allowed in there. What
no,
the hell's
so,
going on
so
here?
So what they're doing is because they've I believe this was always the plan. Once they get into either the playoffs or they get further into the playoffs, at a certain date, they established, like, family members could be coming in. Or, you know, close friends, like, because I think that was a part of the negotiation. Once
right.
we prove that we're negative, and they've been negative, like, there's no COVID in the bubble. They have done a remarkable job in the NBA and the NHL. And I think the agreement was, you know, if we're going to be in there for 90 days, at some point, I'd like the wife and kids to be able to fly in. You know, can we work that out if we get to the second round or whatever? So that was always a part of the program. But I guess the league had never truly established the rules in terms of who you can invite in.
The so fellas are sniffing around on the rules.
Well,
right now.
You tell me how you interpreted this, because I had an interpretation. And maybe it was a sinister one, and maybe it was one that was quite immature. And maybe I'm selling them short down there in the bubble. But this is what was quoted out by Woj earlier today. Per the memo, quote, any individual the player has not previously met in person – or with whom the player has had limited in-person interactions with, will not be allowed in.
Who's going to determine that, though, Brian?
Yeah.
Whoa, like, no one in the league knows how many times someone's been to your house. What are they going to do, check your security cameras?
No, yeah, here's what's going to happen. If the girl shows up and is taking Instagram photos the second she steps into the bubble, they'll be like, that's an Instagram model from Orlando that clearly slid into the DMs, and this guy has invited her into the bubble.
So like, what? Right? They don't know if she's been to his house 10 times
before. They're
going to
find out. They're going to find out. I don't know how they're going to find out, but they're going to find out. Because that's what they're saying. You know guys are doing that. They're like, the second I can get people in here, I'm going back and forth over DM with some woman down the road, and she's willing to come into the bubble. So I'm going to get her into the bubble. And the NBA is like, no, you're not. You got to fly your mom in, or your friend, or your sister, or your brother, or your cousin. But you can't bring in some Instagram model who's in Miami that's willing to drive up and come in.
That's pretty clear. You just keep it in the bubble. Like, just you're in the bubble now.
Yeah, I think it's tough to prove. Like, if you've gone on dates with a couple girls, like, say one girl, you've dated her three times, like, is that somebody you're allowed to bring into the bubble because you've gone on a couple dates with?
Yes.
But how do you prove it? Like,
I don't know.
NBA security's been like, you haven't dated her, you can't bring her in. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, the vetting process seems like it's kind of difficult to get through. But I will say, this is going to lead to a lot of problems. Like, think about the guy who invites, like, some woman he's met over Tinder. Meanwhile, like, his mom is dying to come down to the bubble. It's like, sorry, mom, you're not coming down. Like, I got a DM message 3 days ago, and my bubble invitation is going
full.
To that woman. Yes, and I have been creeping on those pics, and it's happening. I don't care what the NBA has to say. All right, joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our hockey insider, Darren Dreger. What's happening, Dregs?
Everything's happening. I don't know how to follow up that conversation because I'm thinking to myself how much drama this would cause me, and only from a family perspective, right?
Right.
Like, do you invite your wife? Do you invite your kids? One of your kids?
What about Tiny? Would you bring Tiny in the bubble, Darren?
I don't know. She's got a bit of a cough. She might have the virus. She's been a tad under the weather.
Yeah, that's not good.
No. Tiny's COVID dumps would be awful.
Is that a dog?
What's that? The biggest dog you've ever seen in your life.
It's an oxymoron of a handle.
Really?
The bubble relationship and the bubble invites, that's a Seinfeld episode.
Definitely.
Like, it's going to be a huge problem because
I love it.
Yeah, which I'm all for it. Exactly. I want the chaos. I want the content. I hope it all gets reported on. Speaking of which, how about Rod Brind'Amour today? We were talking about this in the past hour.
Yeah.
Rod Brind'Amour, you know, calling the league a joke, he just went crazy post game about the review process. Like, clearly he's getting fined here. Clearly.
Yeah.
It's a must fine situation. But how does the league react? Like, what do they say in response to Brind'Amour going off the way he did earlier this afternoon?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're clearly not going to like it. I mean, anytime you question the integrity, the authenticity of officiating, be it in the regular season or in this case, the Stanley Cup playoffs, that gets the attention of Commissioner Bettman. You know, not just hockey ops guys like Colin Campbell and Comfort Union. Obviously, Stephen Watkins is the director of officiating. But that is a no-no. But look, Rod Brind'Amour isn't new to this game. He probably felt like he needed to stand up because felt like his group got cheated. And so if it costs him $25,000 to say what he said, then that's money well spent because every guy in that room knows that the coach has their back. But they're uber sensitive to this stuff. And then we know John Tortorella's got a rich history of saying things. Now he's saying almost nothing, but he's being dismissive in the process of saying nothing. And that's rankled the NHL head office as well. They're not they're not happy with how he's doing his post game interviews. So they're sensitive.
How about the way he started it, Dregs? Like, don't ask me about the non-call in overtime.
Yeah.
and it's Aaron Port's line. You know, like, he must have a pretty good relationship with Port because he's always like, "Don't go there, Portsy." Like, they must talk off the air or something like that because I think there is a form of respect there. But he gets after him too.
Oh yeah, no, Aaron Port's line is one of the most persistent and patient beat reporters there is out there. And you're right. He's got to have a decent relationship with Tortorella. Otherwise, he'd just say, you know what, I don't need this. I'm not even asking you a question because the value of the answer isn't going to be significant enough to make my column, so beat it. I mean, it's such a slippery one. And I've got a lot of time for Tort. It's not that I'm trying to derail this because it was the Brendan Moore comment that we're talking about, but I'm just substantiating again how sensitive the NHL can be to these types of interviews. But when it comes to, you know, ranting on the officials and officiating in general, yeah, he's definitely getting a call from Coley Campbell without question, and I'd be absolutely shocked if it didn't cost him some money. And I doubt that Tom Dundon's dipping into his pocket and paying that fine.
That cheap bastard isn't going anywhere near that, Derek.
Yeah, Drags, put that one on the tee, fellas, or what?
Yeah, right there.
Drags, we had Kyle Dubas on today. What do you think the process is for the way general managers work? I mean, Kyle's got to get to work and kind of revamp this roster and reshape it. Do you think people are sniffing around trying to pick at the carcass, or he's the one that has to go to work and try to do his job?
Little of both, though. Little of both. I mean, that's the way it works. Kyle should pick up the phone and call Jimmy Rutherford. He'd be the first call that I make. And I'm not looking at any one player outside of the obvious in Pittsburgh. But, you know, Jimmy spoke from the heart yesterday, didn't he? And then they followed it up by dusting, you know, three fairly recognizable and respected assistant coaches, Jacques Martin and Mark Recchi and Sergei Gonchar. So they're not messing around in Pittsburgh. And traditionally, we know when Jimmy says he's doing something, he does something. So if I were Dubas or I were a general manager who was pretty eager to get in the discussion game early, if there's a player that makes sense or you think that you've got a player that makes sense, I'd be cultivating that relationship pretty quick.
Yeah, that move in Pittsburgh, I'm not surprised based on who it was in Rutherford, like you said. I mean,
that's just showing people that he's not accepting what happened. That's
right,
what that
but what happened exactly? They missed more man games due to injury than any other team in the league, more so than Columbus, way more.
Right.
I thought Mike Sullivan did a remarkable job. So what? That means he did it on his own. Mark Recchi didn't help.
That was about Montreal playing Philly tonight and Pittsburgh being at home. That's
right.
All that was about.
Exactly. Yeah. A five-game series in August is the reason everyone's going to lose their job. I just think that seems a little bit harsh.
Well, I poked around a little bit after the fact today, and I'm not in any way going to compare Mike Sullivan to Mike Babcock. But Babcock has history of bringing in young, inexperienced assistant coaches, but guys who are smart, who have fresh ideas and can provide a new voice. And in some way, you're not going to challenge Mike Sullivan or Mike Babcock, but you can challenge them intellectually from a hockey perspective, right? So that's the sense that I'm getting. With all due respect to those guys, I mean, Mark Recchi, as an example, went on that bench effectively as a favor to the organization. I tweeted this earlier. I mean, he's a player development guy. That's what his interest is, and perhaps it's a stepping stone to some degree into management. So he went on that bench to help them out. So Pittsburgh is kind of stealing a bit of a page here from Babs in looking for, again, new voices, different ideas. You know, individuals are going to challenge status quo to some degree. That's the sense that I get.
We're Darren Dreger, our hockey insider. We haven't even mentioned the five overtimes yesterday. And Tampa
incredible.
Wins it in the fifth OT.
Didn't you think it was garbage hockey, though? I was like, this is so exciting. It was blowing up the Twitter world, but they couldn't even do anything.
No, they were so tired.
Yeah.
Well, Columbus was. I think Tampa was like, all right, we're getting another chance. And, like, the goalie was
Kropasov was unbelievable.
He was unbelievable. But
and it
right.
wasn't a cheap goal either. It was a nice goal.
No.
Top shelf through traffic in a bullet.
Yeah.
Wasn't a cheap goal.
It looked pretty good for me until he got into the fourth overtime. And then you could see guys lagging. I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois has been... He's been a horse. I mean, he was versus the Toronto Maple Leafs, and, you know, it appears he's going to try and be that again here in this series. But there are a couple of shifts in the fourth and then the fifth overtime where the poor bugger is just gagging on his tongue trying to get back to the bench. And, you know, you're talking about finely tuned athletes here who are, you know, flat out of gas. But then Victor Hedman post game said, "Nah, you know, gets to the point where it's fun." And he goes, "I felt like I could have played more." Well, you won, so maybe that kind of fueled a little bit more of the adrenaline post game. But it was a spectacle, to be sure.
Where do you guys stand on 3-on-3 in overtime?
No. These are just one-offs. Like, the, you know, you, these are, like, how many, like, 4 or 5 overtimes has it been in the history of the game? Like, 10?
Yeah.
Like, to me, it was, I thought Gord Miller did a great job. Like, it, you know, it was, it was a great entertainment factor for me. That the crazy part about it all, outside of Korpisalo, who was brilliant, Seth Jones looked like he could have played another 40 minutes. Like, he, even in his presser afterwards, he's like, "Yeah, I'm fine."
What's that guy's contract look like? Because he is, like, he's going to make a zillion dollars. What?
Well, I'll tell you, you nailed it. I Pat Brisson is—he's got the trifecta there, because he's got Pierre-Luc Dubois coming off restricted. Well, he is a restricted free agent when the season ends, and then he's got Werenski and Seth Jones coming. I think in 2 seasons. One more, I'd have to double check.
Two more. Seth Jones is at 5.4.
Yeah,
but he's unrestricted in 2 years.
Yeah,
and Werenski has 2 more years at $5 million, and he's an RFA. So in the year 2022-23, those two are up.
So it's going to be interesting. I mean, they're just so good, so good.
Yeah.
So it'll be a big number. Let's just hope the cap climbs a little bit, so they can afford. But I mean, you guys know this. You've talked about it before. I've listened on the show. I mean, players like that are going to get paid regardless of what the salary cap looks like. Like, figure it out elsewhere in your roster. You know, those are the guys you lean on.
Yeah, that's what's become clear, is the big guys are getting paid. It's probably not them that'll be squeezed. It'll be the middle of the pack guys and the lower end guys.
Yeah. No.
You know, there's going to have to be guys, a lot of guys, I think, that take league minimum contracts just to stay in the league.
For sure.
Yeah, and you need entry-level guys. We forget that Columbus is missing a top player in that. Josh Anderson's a player.
Yeah,
like, I'm a huge fan of his. Like, he's a Swiss Army knife. Like, he can fight, hit, skate, shoot, do it all. And he's, what, 6'2", 6'3"? Like, he's a big body. Like,
there's a guy. I was going to say the Leafs should be taking a hard look at him, but, I mean, every team in the league is going to take a hard look at Josh Anderson, because I agree, Noodles, he can have that impact if he stays healthy, of course.
Yeah, you want to talk about a horse. Like, that guy's an absolute stud up front.
Yep.
He's 26 years old.
Yeah,
But he's going to make some money. He's only making 1.85 right now, so he's going to make some money here soon.
Yeah, something's going to have to give in Columbus. For sure. All right, Dregs. Well, we'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, boys. Have a great night.
Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com. Yeah, the whole changing overtime thing, it's a reaction to last night, naturally, and even today, I guess. There was a double OT, Patrice Bergeron, again, why not? Boston wins game one.
What a great play that was in overtime.
Yeah, it was a beautiful play by Pastrnak.
And unreal. Yeah,
I would say Mrazek may have played that like a 70s goalie, but still. I mean,
he did overplay it to the glove side slightly, yes.
A little bit overplayed. Yeah. But, I think when it comes to changing overtime rules, there's a reason we don't even want to address it. One is history, clearly. Two is it's already so entertaining, 5-on-5. Like, it's almost like how could you even consider it being more entertaining?
Right.
But it would be if it was 3-on-3. Like, imagine a big game in overtime, 3-on-3. How insane that would be. Like, how riveting it would be, the entertainment value, breakaways in overtime of a cup final.
Yeah, and there's not like
it would
be
insane.
Yeah, the top players would be out there because it would be like, end this now. End it now.
I think I'd like it. I think we'd all come around to it and enjoy it. At first, there would be pushback that it would cheapen it or it would feel different. I get it. It would be different, but you can't say it wouldn't be entertaining.
It's like anything else. If you tell people that's what's happening, and people will learn to love it. End of story.
Right. You're right. The traditionalists will say, no, that's ridiculous, but it would end things a lot quicker. Like, that game doesn't go, 4 overtimes last night. if it's three
no
on
way.
Three.
Not three
no
on
way.
Three. No
way.
I don't
way.
Think it lasts. It
One
would not
overtime.
Last 3-on-3 10 minutes. Yeah,
not
it
even
would
yet.
Not.
I
it
think
not.
You'd get the occasional second overtime.
No way.
Yeah. Dude, over if you do it for the next 100 years, you're going to get the occasional second.
Well, there was situations where I watched some and they kept circling
right,
back.
Like
and it was like,
safe.
I was like, oh my God, they have found a way to ruin 3-on-3.
Right. It's almost impossible to ruin 3-on-3. Like, very rarely is it anything short of thoroughly entertaining. Like, it's insanity. It's 3-on-3 craziness. And
it is
on a Tuesday night in November against a team you don't care about. You're standing the whole time. Could you imagine a Cup Final Game 7 3-on-3 in overtime? Like, just imagine. That would be – I could not imagine a more exhilarating sporting experience than watching that.
I
support
it,
I guess is what I'm saying. I'm on board with it.
I would like to see at least, like, one full overtime, 20 minutes of 5-on-5, and then you go, okay, now we're going to 3-on-3. Like something like that, where it gives you a chance, kind of like regular season. It give you know, like I just want a little bit of a chance, just to end it, you know, the traditional way. But who knows?
Well, hey, listen. Until otherwise, it's just going to keep. And there's nothing wrong with the way it is. Obviously,
no.
Like 5-on-5 over. It's incredible. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I say the same thing when we talk a lot about, like, expanded playoffs. I'm like, what do we need that for? It's already as good as it gets. Well, and then you add it, and you're like, well, that was kind of cool, now that I think about it. But anyway, we'll see what Jerry has in store for us this week. Jerry's percentage is coming up. The Raptors tipping off in just over an hour down in the bubble. You can hear that right here on TSN Radio. Embiid will play tonight. It sounds like Embiid will go tonight. So the Raptors are taking on the Sixers, and tomorrow down in the bubble, it is going to be bedlam in the West because there are four teams fighting for the play-in game. There will be a play-in game for the first time, I believe, since the 50s.
One-game showdown?
Yeah, it'll be 8 versus 9, and it could be any combination of Memphis, Portland, Phoenix, San Antonio, because Memphis has just been wall-squatting down there. They've buckled. I think they're 1-6 or 1-6, I believe.
See, I'm not in favor for hockey to go to like this play-in best of five, but I do like that one game showdown idea.
Yeah. Hayes, are you seeing that the Woj tweet about the NBA suspending Giannis?
Oh,
the
no,
headbutt.
Well, the headbutt. What did they give him?
The NBA is suspending final seeding game on Thursday for the headbutt.
So that's a cop out. That's basically, he wasn't going to play anyway.
Yeah,
that's one. I mean, it wasn't a great, like some people comparing it to Zidane, like Zidane or whatever his
Zidane.
Name is.
I didn't think that Zidane was that bad either.
Zidane's was brutal,
dude.
It was
a headbutt to the guy's chest. That's
It's soccer, man. You're not allowed to do anything in soccer. And that was on the world stage. That was a final of the World Cup.
No, but it was his last game too, wasn't it?
Yeah, but wasn't it 1-1 or 2-1? Like, what the hell are you doing?
I know, but it was like a headbutt to a guy's chest. If he would have stroked him in the face and broke his jaw, then you've got a problem. But like the little headbutt in
that's an outrageous take from you. That is crazy to suggest that he didn't deserve to get kicked out of the game for viciously headbutting some guy in the chest. Go
viciously.
Look at the tape, dude. There is some heat.
It's hard
behind
to, like, believe me.
Now the guy sold
bad.
It beautiful.
Yeah,
it
the guy
bad.
Sold it. The guy like stretchered himself off, I'm sure. But like, you know how it is.
Well, that
like,
was Italy. I'm sure your household was in favor of it.
Oh, I'm sure of it. Yeah,
sure
I'm
Steph sure would have been right down there on college, and she's a super fan.
Scarf on and honking
sure
the horn.
She would have
I'm
been.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, we'll come back and get to Jerry's percentages. I can't believe you thought Zidane deserved, a warning?
Zinedine
yellow,
Zidane.
Yeah, yellow
Zidane,
card.
Whatever.
Hey, like, what if the ref was like, knock that off?
Hey, cut it out, you two. The guy's laying on the 50th, or not the 50th yard line, the center yard line
center
or whatever.
Field.
I'm soccer fans are going to kill me for this comment.
Yeah,
I can't get the pitch right. I can't figure out the guy's name. I just know it was a headbutt, and it was a big game, and he deserved to get kicked out. Giannis, though, again, I didn't think it was as bad, and I'm not surprised that they're going to cop out and just give him a game because they want him there for the playoffs.
That's true.
Clearly. Yeah. All right, Jerry's percentage is coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry! You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's Percentages is brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from 2 people to 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking. Head on down to 942 on the Queensway or online at bestpc.ca. Jerry's got an opening statement, I'm sure. I don't know what he's up to. We saw him earlier this week. We haven't seen him in a while.
With his salad.
Yeah.
Yeah, his lettuce is looking fresh. I like it. I support it. Let's hear from Jerry.
Jerry's popping bottles in the bubble, and he's super horny because everything is coming up Jerry. The Maple Laughs took the walk of shame on Monday, something Jerry knows very well. The lottery was rigged to perfection for my New York Rangers, and Head and Shoulders reached out offering me a lucrative endorsement deal after they saw my salad was making the ladies weak and the fellas jelly.
That couldn't possibly be true. Like, there's just no way Head and Shoulders
guys
reached out.
Guys, jelly over Jerry's salad?
The women weak. Women get weak.
At his earmuff hairdo.
Because of his lettuce. Oh, that is...
He looked like it was growing over his ears. Earmuff salad.
Oh, Head and Shoulders is calling. I love it.
Yes, that's, Jerry, that's flip your hair back for us out of the shower and give us a wink.
Meow.
Oh, Jerry.
The fellas are jelly of Jerry.
I love it.
All right, let's get to the hot takes.
I, the esteemed Jerry, will personally change the overtime rules in the next 3 years to 3-on-3 from the start. Jerry had work to do, but was stuck watching the TV. And by work, you know exactly what I mean.
All right. 3-on-3, the next 3 years.
No
in
way.
Some capacity. In some capacity, they'll be playing 3-on-3. Whether that's the second
only
OT.
Only in playoffs?
In the playoffs. 3-on-3 in overtime.
I don't think they're going to touch that one. Unless there is just a plethora of these types of games and other games are delayed, but they're not going to have these circumstances again, so they're going to have to chew on it if it happens again. And I say 15%, because you never say never, but...
I'm zero. I don't think they're touching it. Like you're right. Like, when's the next time there's going to be a bubble where there's a game right after it and you're concerned and you got to move the, you know, they had to move another game to 11 o'clock this morning.
Yeah,
can you imagine? Like, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. It was actually crazy. Like, I love Cassidy's, like his media
your
availability
post-game
last night. Yeah, no, not even post game last night. He's like, yeah, I was just sitting there. He goes, got to be honest, I had a piece of pizza. Like, he goes, it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, and John Cooper goes, yeah, I ran into the coaches, had a chat with them in between overtimes. Like, it was a tournament. Like, this is the Quebec, you know, SO Cup or whatever. This is like the Kamloops International Tournament. Like, you know, all these guys are in the building. Can you imagine Boston and Carolina sitting there watching Tampa and them play, going, when are we up next? Like, you know. That would have been, even Cassidy said it was really hard. He thought on Mrazek and Rask, goaltenders, you're preparing for things. Guys are a little bit different in their preparation.
Well, and 11 a.m. in the National Hockey League.
I know.
Like, what is
tough.
This? The East Coast Hockey League in November for Kids Day? I mean, that,
yeah.
And you got to do it. You had to do it. It was the right call. I'm not disputing that, but
it
throws everyone out of whack. I'm going to go a little bit higher than you guys. I think they'll stick to tradition the way it's always been, and but I think this. All you need to do is get the ball rolling on the conversation. You get some people throwing it out there, like, "Oh, that'd be a cool idea," for a number of different reasons. I'll say 30%. I'm not holding my breath, but I think there's a chance it comes up at GM meetings, and then if enough voices start to say that they're in favor of it, then anything is possible at that point.
Love the stash and the salad on Jason Spezza. Makes Jerry think he could grow a little cookie duster. And he will be back next season with the Maple Leafs.
Well, he basically came out and put his cards on the table and said, I'm dying to come back. I want to be here. And that would suggest he's coming back on the league minimum. That's what he signed for this year. And right. he'd be more than willing to accept it next year. He couldn't possibly think he's going to get more money. He knows that. So that's an interesting one. Jerry's got Spezza coming back.
I'm going to go 50% on that. Obviously, I think he's good for the younger guys. I just think it's a good all-around situation. You know, secondary power play guy that plays in the fourth line. I think it would be a good fit to have him back. I'm going to say 50%. You can't just because a player is all the, you know, the things line up for the player and he says the right thing, this doesn't mean it's automatic that it's going to happen. But I'm going to say 50%.
I'm lower on this. Love Jason Spezza. I think there is a little bit of game left there. He even said, like, my game's not what it used to be, but I still think I have some. I don't disagree with that. But I think in certain scenarios, they will look to turn over positions. And, you know, that's a position. I know it's a league minimum position, but I think you need an upgrade in that area. Like, I look at other teams that are deep. That fourth line is a really productive line. And, you know, can he give you 82 games? And now you got the goat kicking around too. But I think they would look elsewhere, and maybe he would be a failsafe. You know, it's just not.
Yeah.
It's not about good feelings and all that. You're trying to improve your team, and you've got to take emotion out of it. If there's a better fit at a different price or around the same price, I think Kyle looks at it personally.
Yeah, I agree too. What was your number, Noodles?
15%.
15%. Yeah,
I was 50.
I'm going to be into the minority here as well, I think, because as much as I look at the contract, like, he's willing to sign for $700,000.
He's playing for free.
Basically for free, you know, and it's almost a scenario where he might be like, just here, give me the deal, and if I show up at camp and it doesn't work, send me home. You know,
right.
and from that standpoint, there's a part of me that's like, I think they'll do that. But I also think because of the cap situation with it being flat, I think you're going to get a lot of players still sitting out there in August that will take the same contract. Like, I think there's a chance you get a guy who's 27, 28, who's a pretty good player, who's like, I couldn't find anyone. I'll come play for you for 1 year if you give me a chance.
Right.
And that's where I think it's going to burn Spezza. You know, I think
unless a bunch of guys get ahead of the curve, Brian, and they say, you know what, I better dumpster dive right now and let teams know I'll sign for bottom base or bargain basement because I don't want to be the guy sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
there might be guys chopping their own knees off very early to say, I need to get this done because I want a position in camp.
Yeah, well, and that would be self-awareness. That's on the agent to be honest.
And it's tough for the agent to get to that situation.
Exactly.
You're right. You're going to be scratching and clawing even for a job in this league, so you might want to cut your own knees out from underneath you.
It's very difficult.
Well,
and a lot of players won't want to hear it. They'll tell the agent, that's not happening.
But,
go find me a job. Why am I employing
right.
you?
But there's guys like Brian Boyle that are going to be out there. And
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Brian Boyle made .940 from Florida this year. He's 35 years old, so he'll be 36. So he's in that Spezza category. But
somebody,
if they're looking to
pay him more than $700,000 to be a fourth-line centerman.
But that's, I'm just saying, like, there's going to be lots of those players out there.
Agreed.
So you're going to choose, and
that's
you're going to go.
That's my point. That's what I'm saying, and that's where I think Spezza is. Any other year, non-COVID, cap going up, and I think they bring him back at the minimum. But I think they might be able to find who they feel is an upgrade at the minimum too.
We'll do a segment
so I'll
tomorrow.
Save 30%.
We'll call it dumpster diving. We'll go through a list of guys, and who do we want to dumpster dive around?
Yeah. I think there's going to be a lot of them, a lot more than you think. Guys looking for PTOs that are pretty good players.
Yeah.
And
right.
That's where I think the Leafs are hoping for that anyway.
Freddie Anderson will start 50 or fewer games next season.
50 or fewer for Freddie.
75%. Who else is, like, Jack Campbell's there, he's going to get his 30. Done.
Well, I
what is the thing?
Fewer.
50 or fewer?
50
yeah,
or fewer.
Yeah, I think
fewer.
He can play
over
50.
Yeah.
If he's here, he plays over 50. Because
okay,
that's
then you're
32
low on this because Jerry's saying he doesn't think it'll be 50 plus.
But my question is, will he be here the whole season?
Well, I guess
that's,
you have to take that
I'm
into consideration.
I'm saying he's playing 50 games. The other guy
you're
gets
low
the
on
other
it.
Ones.
You're low on it then. Like,
no, it says 50 or fewer.
All right,
50,
so you're going to be specific and say 50 right on. You think he's calling. Okay, fine. That's fine.
Right. I'm saying right around 50, so I'm 85% on this.
Okay.
My point with all of this is I'm not convinced that by this time next year, Frederik Andersen has been extended, and he's a Maple Leaf.
Well,
that's
you notice,
where you're going.
Like, I asked Kyle, where does Freddie fit in on the future? And he said, well, him and Zach Hyman are both up, and they're going to talk. And you know,
we're figure
up
it out.
The cap's not moving. Like, it wasn't a guaranteed that he's here forever. You know, not
right.
that would be expected, but – maybe I'm reading the tea leaves here incorrectly, but I think if they really were committed and he was their guy, he would have said, we're going to make that, you know, we're going to make it work. We love Freddie, blah, blah, blah. I didn't sense that from the answer.
Well,
he didn't bury him. He didn't say he's gone, but it was kind of a, hey, well, we're up against it and we don't have a ton of money and we'll see kind of thing.
Well, you've got to take a look. I guess I'm low on this. Then.
Yeah, I am. I'm high. I'm 60%. I don't think he's starting more than 50 next year. I don't. I think there's a chance Jack Campbell, if they feel like he can get on a heater, they're going to let him to keep playing.
If he is your guy, I don't think he needs to start more than 50. That's a good number for him.
You believe in Campbell, you know. But what I'm saying is, like, in the past years, if the backup had a great game, Freddie's going in the next night. I don't think that applies anymore. I think if Jack Campbell plays really well one night, he starts the next game next year. That's how I would do it. That's how I would play it.
I'm low on this because I'm not convinced that there's an extension there and he's going to be there, you know, for a 5-year deal. That's my point. So I'll say 38%.
All right.
Jerry's still rattled that the Lightning and Jackets ruined my bubble schedule. But that Korpisalo is a flat-out stud. And he'll have better stats next season than Sergei Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky's been going to the Clevelander in Miami, I hear. A place that Jerry has had a lot of success.
Okay. Interesting side note there. But he's got Korpisalo with better stats than his predecessor Sergei Bobrovsky next year.
20%. I think, Bob, there's just no chance that he could throw another year like that at anybody, regardless of who's playing in front of him. I just think that he's going to respond. I think he'll be in the Vezina conversation next year.
Well, he does usually have, like, you know, one good season.
Guess what happens after?
Yeah, but
dialed.
Here's the other thing: is with potential expansion coming, Merzlikins is signed. Korpisalo, they're both on the same term of contracts. Korpisalo makes 2.8, and Elvis makes $4 million. I think they're going to commit to Elvis at some point, and Korpisalo will be expendable. Like, there'll be teams looking at Korpisalo to get him as a starter. And you don't want to give him away to Seattle for nothing, right? So it'll be interesting to see where one of those goaltenders lands, because they're not just going to go take him to an expansion. So I'm low on this. I think Bob will have better stats next year as well, too. 18%.
Oh, I'm going higher. I'm going to say 55%. I mean, I think the way Columbus plays is a big part of it. The Tortorella, and we're talking about the stats. Whether that's 30 starts or 55 or 70. It's save percentage, you know, goals against, winning percentage. You know, and maybe it's recency bias because of what I saw him do last night. That was unbelievable.
Well, and he played great against the Leafs.
He played really well against the Leafs. And, he was an all-star this year, wasn't he? He had a really good year.
Yes, he was.
And
all-star.
Bob was brutal, you know, really. Yeah. Like, based on his contract and expectations, he was horrible.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lean towards the young guy, you know, moving and shaking. Let's see what else Jerry has for us.
One of the Lakers or Clippers will get eliminated in the first round.
This is a spicy one from old Geraldo.
I'm not
0%.
Who's going to take out Kawhi or LeBron in the first round?
Well, LeBron just said, for whatever reason.
By the way, it's already a hunch. It's a hunch then.
Right.
What?
If you're that convinced it's going to happen, I'll bet you $100 and you won't do it.
Well, I'm not saying I'm convinced. I'm saying if based on a percentage, I'm not going 0% like you two yahoos. Like, LeBron, have you been watching what Damian Lillard's been doing?
Okay.
What Portland's been doing, like LeBron, who's guarding them on the perimeter? Like Anthony Davis isn't going out there. I'm not sure LeBron is prepared to chase Damian Lillard around for 48 minutes. In fact, I know he's not. So I don't think it's a lock the Lakers win and beat them. And the Clippers are likely, they're looking at Dallas. You're telling me Luka Doncic couldn't go off and make it close against the Clippers? I don't love the chances, but I'm not saying 0%. I'm going to say 20%. 20%. I think there's a 1 in 5 shot that one of them goes down. And if you asked me 2 months ago, I'd say 0% like you guys. But it's a bubble. The Lakers, without Avery Bradley, Rondo's not going to be available the first round. They've looked okay. You know, LeBron even said he doesn't feel like they're playoff ready. They're going to face a team that's been fighting for their lives if it's Portland that gets in. And right. Damian Lillard's been the hottest player in the league. He scored 61 points last night. So check yourself and check that confidence.
All right. Fair
All
enough.
Right?
Fair
okay.
enough.
Go ahead, Jerry.
Colin Morikawa will finish top five at one of the final two majors this year. He must be doing work away from the course like Tiger did in his prime. And you know exactly what I mean.
That's not true at all, because he has a girlfriend that was a college golfer. I guess she was, like, dialed in at Pepperdine. And she was there.
Morikawa?
Yeah, Morikawa. Absolutely. He's dating some like, absolute stud golfer that went to Pepperdine, I believe. I don't know if she's on tour or is going to be on tour or whatever. But that's an interesting one. Morikawa, you get the U.S. Open in like a month. And the Masters, and they announced today at Augusta that they're not allowing any spectators in
Dude, what? In that's November. Not, shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Like, although no, that is one golf course. We talk about not noticing the difference for golf. That's one course. The players are even going to just say it's a massive difference because all of those – have you been there, Brian?
No, I haven't. No.
All of the greens are framed with the spectators. It's just – it is just going to be one big, giant, massive green, and it's going to be a lot different for those players.
Yeah, I thought that was also maybe the one tournament that would say, we don't care what the experts are saying, the medical field, we do our own thing, we're in the South, come on down. But I think they made the right call. Finish the season in November the way you started it. By then, the players will be used to not playing with crowds anyway. But Morikawa, top five in one of the final two. It's tough to bet against him, man. He's up and he looks like he's on the leaderboard every single week.
I'm going to go 85% on that one. He just seems like he's dialed in. He's got no weaknesses in his game. He claims that he's figured out the putter. He's the real deal, man. That tee shot he hit, I don't know what hole it was, 16, that short par 4 where he just drilled it. It was the whole tournament. He hit it 4 feet with a driver.
Yeah, that's truly one of the all-time great shots.
Oh, yeah.
A major. Like a
driver to 4
great.
Feet makes it.
And it's over. Like, that was it. Yeah. He went two shots up, and it was like he's not giving that up. It's over. But he's still young. I mean, that was his second major. We're talking about his third and fourth major. I don't believe he's ever played at the Masters. I might be wrong on that. But with or without fans, that's a different beast. Yeah. I'm going to say 30%. Like, there are just so many great players, top five.
I know, but you know how these guys are, man. They just get on a heater and they rake.
Like he's on one right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he has been for months. There's no denying that.
Yeah, I'm playing the field, though.
Yeah.
I'm at 41%.
Yeah. Like, you just look. Like, Tiger, I don't know what to expect. What are they playing? Winged Foot, I think, U.S. Open?
Yeah, very tight golf course, big rough. I don't know how much success he's going to have there.
No, but Augusta
I think the
Nash.
Last time the U.S. Open was at Wingfoot was the first major that Tiger missed the cut at. If I don't know. I might be wrong on that.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we got two more, so we'll see. All right, we're going to revisit our conversation with Kyle Dubas. If you missed it, Kyle joined us in the 4 p.m. hour. We'll get back to that into the 6 p.m. hour. The Raptors are playing tonight right here on TSN Radio, tip-off at 6:30. They're taking on Philly. You can hear it again right here on TSN. So we'll get to that as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, so the Raptors in action at 6:30 right here on TSN Radio. Jays in action. Game 2 down in Buffalo. Nate Pearson back on the mound tonight. So big Nate. Making his third start. And when he's on the mound, it's pretty much must see. You know, you want to know what he's up to, and his numbers have been very solid. He's still young, as we know, but
he's going to blow up Twitter. He's going to blow up Twitter soon because he's just going to go on a heater one night and start mowing guys down at the plate, and people are going to be like, "This guy's unconscious."
Yeah, he's. I don't want to throw out the whole. You know, you don't want to make a perfect game or no hitter prediction.
No. But when you're throwing gas like that, he's throwing 99, man. Yeah. And then he's got that slider thrown in with it. It's
yeah. He's going to have a game where he's got like 12 strikeouts through like five innings. And it's like, okay, where are we going here?
Like Clemens, what? Remember?
Yeah,
like Clemens would go on a heater like that, where you're tracking that, and it's too bad. You get people in the stands that bring the sign, the big K sign.
Yeah,
they hang the K's over.
Well, I think Clemens have the record for strikeouts in a game. I thought he had the. It's like 21 or so. I know
Kerry Wood had 27 or something.
No, he didn't have. Well, he didn't go strike out every single. Out.
Right. That's it.
I think he had.
I know Kerry Wood, when he was with the Cubs, he had something redonk.
He hit 20 for sure. I don't remember if it was like 20 or 21. Yeah. Yes, he did for sure. And Clemens did it, I think, once or twice. I think Nolan Ryan probably got close. But I don't know what the record is. We'll look that up. All right, we'll revisit our conversation with Kyle Dubas. It was very extensive. There was a lot that we got into, a lot that was broken down. You're not going to want to miss this. We'll get to that. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-aided.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.